What's up, my friend? Welcome to the Finding Direction podcast. My name is Stu Massengill, and I'm here every single week to bring you a passionate guest or message dedicated to helping you find your purpose so that you can live a life full of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for hanging out with me, and let's dive in. What's up, my friend? I hope you are having a beautiful day. I really want to say thank you for joining us on this podcast for today's episode, for every single time that you tune in. And I am excited to have a conversation with you today about a very interesting part of my life, is I guess the best way that I could phrase it. It was a moment when I was diagnosed with cancer, that C word that, you know, many people talk about, many people fear, and truly it's not something that I really talk about much. It's not something that I open up about a ton, but I figured for some reason it just felt right to share a little bit of my journey through cancer with you on today's episode. And if you have not yet, I just want to make sure to ask you to subscribe to the podcast if you have not already, so you can join us every single week as we bring you actionable tips, conversations on how do you create a life full of passion, fulfillment, and happiness? How do you ultimately create a life that you love, that you enjoy, that you wake up excited about every single day? All right, so let's dive into this week's episode, and I want to take you back to a moment of my life where I was going through, or I was about to go through, I guess you could say, one of the most interesting chapters of my life. And to fill you in on the story a little bit, where I would say this really first took place, is I was at a phase of my life. I was about 22 years old, I want to say, and I had decided to go travel to kind of find myself. I was in a place where I was lost. I was not sure what I was doing on this planet, really. And so I figured, like many people do, that I was going to go travel. And so I ended up in Bali accidentally for 3 weeks. It's a whole nother story how I ended up there. But my goal was that I wanted to go to New Zealand. It was a place that to this day, I feel like I have some sort of connection with. I almost feel like I have a past life that I lived in New Zealand. There's some spiritual aspect of who I am that is deeply connected with New Zealand. And it's been a dream of literally my entire life to go be in New Zealand. And so I had made a decision that I was going to go live there for 7 months. And so I'm flying from Bali to New Zealand. And I remember it like it's yesterday. You know, the plane, eventually they start to announce on the loudspeaker, please prepare for landing. We are officially at New Zealand. This is the temperature, so on and so forth. And so the plane starts descending into New Zealand, and it was magical. I looked out the windows of the plane, and you could see this beautiful landscape, which was the New Zealand mountains in Queenstown, New Zealand. And they were just massive. And we were landing right in between two sets of mountains, and you could see the snow on the top of it. And it was just beautiful. I literally had tears running through my face just because I felt like I was finally coming back to a place that I'd been so deeply connected for my entire life. And so I landed on the plane. I ended up hitchhiking to the town because, you know, New Zealanders, they say, this is just what you do when you're in New Zealand. You don't catch the bus. You just go hitchhike. And people are really friendly here. And, you know, thankfully, I did not get kidnapped. I met a nice person that dropped me off into Queenstown, New Zealand. I checked into my hostel, and I started to do what I thought was going to turn into a 7 month trip of exploring. I went and started booking some tours and, you know, bungee jumping and skydiving and river rafting and just all the things you do in New Zealand, Queenstown, because it's the action sports capital of the world. And after 3 days of being in New Zealand, of again, what was supposed to be a 7 month trip, I noticed that there was, to just be very vulnerable, some sort of mass in one of my gentlemen's downstairs. And this is just a quick reminder, if you are a guy listening to this, make sure that you do regular checkups. And if you're a female listening to this and you have a male partner, this is a reminder to make sure that you're telling your partner to say, hey, make sure you go get regular checkups. So for me, I noticed some sort of mass that was not where it was supposed to be. And I would say that this is really where my first lesson comes in of the four most powerful lessons that I learned from cancer. And the first lesson is that the seeds that you let in your brain are everything. The seeds that you let in your brain, the seeds that you plant in your brain are everything. Now, when I began to notice this mass, I did like what I think most normal people would do, is I went and Googled, this is what's happening to me and what's going on. And sure enough, as I Googled it, you know, the C word cancer starts being all over my Google search. This could be testicular cancer. This could be some other form of cancer. And, you know, there's other articles saying other things as well. But what I had to do at this moment is I had to plant a seed in my brain that, yes, this could be cancer, but this could also just be nothing. I planted a seed of, I'm in New Zealand. I'm in this beautiful place I've always wanted to come. Let me make sure that I enjoy my time here while I figure out what's going on. And the seed that I decided not to plant, which I am forever grateful for, and this is through the whole cancer journey I had, was I didn't plant the seed of panic. And I think too often in life, things happen to us that we do not want to happen, and we choose to plant a seed of panic into our brain. We choose to plant a seed that says, man, everything's going to go wrong. I could die. This could be horrible. And we plant the seed of what if it goes wrong? We plant a seed that does not serve us. For me, it was a seed that I decided not to plant in my journey of cancer. But a question I would ask you that you could maybe take this lesson and apply it to your life is, are there things that have happened in your life, and instead of planting the seed of, okay, something happened, I need to find a way to enjoy my life and figure out what's going on as I enjoy my life, I'm going to figure this out. Or is the seed that you plant the panic seed, the what if it goes wrong seed, the everything is going to be awful seed? And what I noticed through my journey of cancer is planting the seed of this has happened to me, whatever's going on in my body, and I need to make sure that I'm going to enjoy my life and figure this out. It served me to the greatest capacity. And I am a believer that also when you put stress in your body, right, AKA the seed of panic, it actually triggers other part of your immune system. And I don't know all the science behind this. I, you know, have done some research on it, but my true belief is that because I went through my journey of cancer not panicking the entire time, that it actually allowed my nervous system to heal in a much faster way because I wasn't stressing out. I wasn't panicking. I was planting a seed of everything is going to be okay. So that's the first lesson that I got. And to continue the story, right, I find this mass in my body. And because the seed I planted was I'm going to enjoy my time here in New Zealand while I figure out what's going on, I went skydiving the next morning because I had an appointment to go skydiving and I'm in New Zealand and I've wanted to come here my whole life. So I'm going to go do this thing. So I go skydiving and then eventually I find my way to the hospital and, you know, immediately I walk into the hospital, I start to see someone and they start to sort of check out what's going on. And instantly you could just see, as every doctor would inspect my gentleman, you could just see this sort of surprised look on their face. Something that looked like something none of them have ever seen, which, again, the seeds you plant are powerful. I could have let that put me into panic and fear, but I decided to plant the seed of everything's going to be okay. Right? I know that everything's going to be fine. It's going to work out. This is not my time to go. And so after about, you know, 12 different doctors inspected me over the course of 3 days and I did some ultrasounds, eventually I have a doctor that took me to, you know, one of the, not the operating room, one of the, just the doctor's office. And she sat me down and like out of a movie scene, you know, she takes a big breath in, a big exhale out. And she looks at me and goes, she goes, "Sir, we found something in your body and it can possibly be benign, which means it's nothing, or there's a good chance that it might be cancerous. We suggest that you hop on the next plane ride home, you see your doctor back in the United States, and you figure out what's going on." And so what was supposed to be a 7-month journey turned into a 3-day journey. And so I booked a plane ride. I flew all the way back to the United States. And again, because my belief was I'm going to enjoy life while I figure this out rather than stress and panic, I landed, I got off the plane, and one of my best friends picked me up and we went and snowboarded in Lake Tahoe, California for 3 days before I could actually get my doctor appointment on Monday, right? So I didn't spend 2-3 days freaking out, panicking, stressing, sitting on a couch wondering what could go wrong. I said, "Hey, what's happened has happened. Let me move forward with my life and I'll figure it out when it's time to see the doctor." So I went and snowboarded, I enjoyed my life, and come Monday, I go to the doctor's office. I see the urology specialist, Dr. Roy, someone who I am forever grateful for. And after seeing him, he goes, "Yes, this is 95% testicular cancer, probably 99% testicular cancer. We need to start moving forward with operations and sort of taking the necessary protocols to get you healthy." Now, I ended up going through about 6 months of recovery. They did a oreectomy, which I'll let you Google it and figure out what that is. But after that, about 3 months later, I decided I'm going to go start traveling. I'm going to get out again. And literally 2 days before I fly on a plane, I was going to go to New Zealand, I get another call from the doctors and they go, "You know, sometimes what can happen with testicular cancer is sometimes we do the first surgery and everything's gone. But other times, which it's a more rare situation, the cancer can spread to the stomach. And then we have to do a much larger surgery, which is called a RPLND, a retroperitoneal lymph node dissection." And really what that means, aside from the fancy word, is they do an operation where they cut you open from your chest, chest bone, all the way down to your pubic bone, and they slice you open. It's about an 18-inch incision. They open your stomach and they remove lymph nodes. Lymph nodes are essentially the sewage system of the body, from what I learned, where basically if something bad's happening in your body, your lymph nodes are what are going to basically catch that that sewage, right? My sewage was cancer. And so they opened me up, they took out 22 lymph nodes, and 5 of them ended up being cancerous. And so now I'm laying in bed, 18-inch surgery in my stomach. And just probably 3 hours later, one of the nurses comes in and she goes, "All right, it's time to start recovering." She goes, "We're going to get up and we're going to start walking." Now, again, this is 3 hours after I literally have an 18-inch incision in my stomach, one of the biggest surgeries the biggest surgery I've ever had in my life. But this is where I would say the second lesson comes in. And the second lesson is that no matter how bad things are, no matter how bad things look, you need to start taking a step forward in the right direction. Sometimes we can sit there, we can sulk, we can, you know, just feel that life has not dealt us a fair hand of cards. But if we sit in this place of just sulk, nothing in our life is going to get better. And it may be painful to take that first step. It may be uncomfortable. I can promise you that as I had an 18-inch incision with lots of stitches in my stomach, it was not comfortable to take 3 steps. It was not comfortable to get out of bed. But I had to start taking steps in order to recover. And so my question to you is how you can incorporate this into your life. Is there something that you've been sitting in, you've been sulking in, that hasn't necessarily served you in your life? And is it possible that it's time to say, "I'm going to take my next step forward"? whether it's perfect, whether it's messy, whether it's beautiful, I'm going to do something right now to take a step and move forward in my life. What's a place where things did not go your way, where things did not turn out, and you need to take a step forward, even if it's uncomfortable and it's messy, but you have to take a step forward because that's the only way you start to get better. And fast forward 5 years out, five and a half almost, actually Cinco de Mayo, so the day before, the day after this episode releases, will actually be 6 years to the day of my cancer surgery. And I'm happy, beyond blessed, to say that 6 years now from that surgery, I am cancer-free. It does no longer exist in my body, and I am able to walk around as a healthy individual who is cancer-free. Now, I want to share with you the third lesson, the third most powerful lesson I learned from cancer, and it's the belief that everything in life happens for a reason. And if I take you back into my cancer journey, when, you know, I found out I had cancer and I went through the stomach surgery and I had all of this, you know, time to recover and sit and, you know, basically just get better, right? You kind of sit in this weird place of you're recovering and you don't quite know if you're better and you're sort of in this middle place. But there was one belief that got me through the tough time. And it was this belief that I just shared with you, the belief that everything happens for a reason and that you're going through this for a greater purpose. For me, that single-handed belief was able to pull me through everything, right? It's when you're going through something tough, it's easy to get caught up in it and go, man, this is horrible. This is bad. This is not good. But that does not serve you. What served me is as I went through this journey, every single day as I went to get better, I go, this is happening for a reason, and this is part of my story, right? The reason I'm getting this is that I'm going to get better from this, and I'm going to be able to use this as part of my story and as part of who I am today, right? And that belief got me through the tough time. So for your own life, anytime you're going through something rough, you want to start to shift the belief from, man, this sucks, why me, to the belief that this is happening for a greater reason, and this is going to become part of my story that I use later on in my life. It's something that's actually going to serve me rather than something that's going to kill me, literally. That is a belief that massively, massively, massively got me through. And the last lesson that I want to share with you is that every breath is a gift. Every breath is a gift. Recently, I've had a friend of mine pass from cancer, and it is something that has made my own cancer journey hit a little bit harder. You know, you have someone close to you that doesn't make it through the battle, and you go through the battle yourself. It's been a reminder to me that every breath we have in our life is a gift, and that you should never take it for granted. Every moment we get to wake up, we get to open our eyes, it's a gift. Every time we get to put a piece of food in our mouth, it's a gift. Every time we get to wake up and have a conversation with a stranger that could possibly make a positive impact on their life is a gift. So my final lesson to you today from the four most powerful lessons I learned from cancer is to remember that every single day you get on this planet is a gift. And yes, you can go through some hard stuff. You can go through some painful stuff. You can go through some stuff that makes you feel like life is not fair. And you start to ask yourself, why is this happening to me? But even as you go through the crazy stuff, and it's also very important to remember as you're going through the good stuff, as life is good, you want to every single day remember that every single breath that you get to take every day, and every time you get to open your eyes in the morning, it's a gift. Someone once told me, they said, oftentimes we cherish the things in life that are not free, that we pay for, right? The expensive purse, the expensive car that we get, the new shiny object we get. Sometimes we so regularly value the things that cost money, and we so don't value the things that are free in our life, right? The body that we've been given, the breath that we've been given in our lungs, the heart that's beating inside our body every single day that we did not have to pay a dime for. Sometimes we take those things for granted. So as we close out today's episode, I just want you to remember that as you take your next breath right now, I know you're taking a breath right now. You have to be. I want you to remember that it's a gift. And every time you go through something tough, just remember, center yourself. Every breath you take, whether you're going through hard or easy, is a gift. So again, to kind of tie everything together, the four most powerful lessons that I gained from going through cancer is number one, the seeds you let in your brain, the seeds you plant in your brain are everything. Number two is that you have to take a first step, whether it's painful, whether it's uncomfortable, you have to take a first step if you want to get better. And then the third lesson is that in life, as you go through your journey, as you go through your process, that the belief that everything happens for a reason and that this is just part of your story, that that will serve you to get to the next phase of your journey. And then finally, that every breath in your life is a gift. I really, really, from my heart to yours, I want to say thank you for joining me on this episode specifically. It's, again, not something that I talk about a ton, not something that I really discuss often because it's just an interesting part of my life. So from my heart to yours, right in this moment, I can just feel connecting with your energy. I want to say thank you for letting me be vulnerable. Thank you for hearing my story. And I hope that this can serve you in your life in some way, shape, or form. And if you have a friend that is going through cancer or that had cancer, I would love it. I would so love it if you could send them this episode. There's something powerful about talking to someone that's gone through cancer when you're going through it or facing it. So if you know anybody that's going through it, I just, from my heart to yours, I want to ask you to send this to them. Because I know from the deepest place of my heart that it can help them. So other than that, my friend, I want to say thank you as always for joining me on this podcast. Thank you especially today for allowing me to be vulnerable. I hope you take some things from today's lessons from my cancer journey, and I hope you apply it to your life to get you closer to living that life of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. I appreciate you. I'm grateful for you. If you want to subscribe, that's awesome too. And I hope you have a beautiful, outstanding, incredible rest of your day. And I will talk to you more on the podcast soon, my friend. Take care. And again, thank you.